Hello, welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes, bringing you another Old Man Orange Presents via VHS episode. One of them from the rarities vault that we have from back in the day that just never got put out. So come join us for another fun-filled retro movie review. Let's jump on in. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Via VHS Retro Movie Podcast. I'm Wesley, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Spencer Scott Holmes. And we've just been sitting here relaxing and drinking some Dale Earnhardt-inspired Sundrop.
I wish I had that over where I'm at. I don't have anything such as fancy.
Yeah, well, I had to raise hell and praise Dale tonight because we're doing some stroke or ace.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you got to honor threes us anytime you're talking about NASCAR. And what we're doing right now, basically, we're getting into a new era of via VHS and trying to up the ante a little bit and make the show a little bit, more, I guess. And so I was like, hey, for the next, I think it probably looks like 8 episodes. Like, let's just do things that we've always wanted to talk about. And we had one movie picked out, which I think we're going to do next week. We called an audible because that movie, the cut of it that we're watching, ends up being 8 years long.
Yeah, you got to start it on a Friday to hopefully get it done by a Wednesday.
yeah, especially me, because it's just my life is going to be. I did start it, though. I was actually watching it. And then,
that's good. At least you made some progress. I was just afraid. I was like, I got new Ninja Turtles coming out one night. Got this. It's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get 3 hours. I've seen it before, of course, and I've seen it many a times in the original version, but I wanted to make sure I had it as fresh as possible. So I thought, let's go with Stroke Race. It's a nice hour and a half length, like one of those classic lengths of a film.
Yeah, this is an easy watch. You know, it's we had already planned on, this is one of the ones I had picked out to do because I've only seen this once before a long time ago, but anything to do with NASCAR, North Carolina, because of where I grew up, I'm just extremely nostalgic for it. Like, it's just growing. We've said this before when we talked about Days of Thunder, but where I grew up, like Norman area of North Carolina, like right above Charlotte, that's where all the race teams are. So it was not a crazy thing for me to walk into a grocery store or Kmart and, hey, there's Rusty Wallace sitting over there buying some toilet paper and let me go say hey to him. And, it just wasn't a wild thing. So I just grew up around NASCAR. And so, and like Days of Thunder was filmed pretty close to where I was a lot of it. And so, but yeah, I was like, I could do Days of Thunder, which we really do need to talk about again, because it is.
We did an episode on it. That's a lost file episode from way back in the day.
Yeah.
But I would love to do that one again because that movie is just so good. I literally think that's a perfect movie. That movie's it's like almost a very kind of underrated movie because it was big for the time, but it's kind of got forgotten in the last 20 years or so. I mean, maybe over on your side, when you're close to the NASCAR area, it's a little bit more well-remembered, but I just feel like it's one of those ones I just don't hear people talk about it like they, for the fact of how big it is.
I think it got overshadowed by Top Gun. I think Top Gun, because they are the same movie. I mean,
it's literally like Top Gun 2, just with NASCAR.
it's the same thing. And so I think Top Gun kind of overshadows it a little bit, but it was really, really big here. And there was even a Days of Thunder ride. But Stroke or Ace is the one that I think a lot of the NASCAR drivers are actually more nostalgic for. I hear them talk about it a lot. And this is one, when I met my wife, she was working for Dale Earnhardt Jr. She's working at the race shop. She doesn't give a damn about racing. She hates racing. She is not interested in it at all. But I always kind of was growing up. And so she was working at the race shop. She was just, working in, like the fan area where you buy like t-shirts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And his podcast that he does, Dale Jr. Download, is basically like right adjacent to the room where she used to work.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
Yeah, so that's like that back room over there is where they film it. And he's actually talked about Stroker Ace on, you know, his show before, and had a few people on there and talked about it. I sent you a little thing about that, but
I listened to that today.
Yeah, they're real nostalgic about that movie. But sorry with you, if you want to fire up this rewind review so we can talk about Stroker Ace.
Let's fire it up.
Let's do it. All right. So what, if you listen to the show in the past, one thing that we used to do was we had the, we've called it several things, flashback portal, flux capacitor. And I decided we're going to kind of bring it back to the streamlined version of it, because I think we always really enjoyed somewhat talking about the music, but really the box office always gave a lot of perspective on what we're, you know, on the movie, especially if you're doing more of a retrospective, like where this movie is. And so that's what we're going to kind of do. So the box office for this actually is incredibly interesting. So
Office answers so many other questions that how a movie performs. Like, you know, like a lot of times, like when you see what something's going up against or what it's not going up against, that can make all the difference in the world of how much money you make. It doesn't really actually matter how well your movie sometimes is. It just depends on who you're going up against.
Yeah, this one, we'll get to it in a second, but this one's an incredibly interesting box office. But we're going to real quick look at going back to the week of July 1st, 1983, when Stroker Ace was released. And we're going to look at the top five in the music charts real quick. This is the Billboard Hot 100. Technically, the week of July 2nd, 1983. But number one, Flashdance. What a feeling.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Humongous movie.
Humongous movie. So a predecessor. I guess it probably came out a few months before this. We got Electric Avenue by Eddie Grant. We don't know about down. That song's so catchy.
Electric Avenue.
So catchy.
We'll take you higher.
Love it. Every Breath You Take by The Police.
No Place.
Number three. It's still raising up. It was number four last week. So it's probably, I would imagine that ends up probably number one. That was a big song. Time, Culture Club. Time won't give me time. Never Gonna Let You Go by Sergio Mendez. That's your top five.
Oh, yeah. So
if you're in your Trans Am and you're going down to see Stroker Ace.
Because, you know, you definitely had that Trans Am after Smoking the Bandit.
Yeah. You had to, you know.
I got the mini version of it behind me, actually, up there.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, it's up there on the top of the shelf. You can, it probably just looks like a little black box with a red bottom on it, but there's a little, Smokey the Bandit car up there.
Smokey and the Bandit. Yeah. A lot of really good stuff here. I would say this is Thriller time, so want to be starting something's in the top 10 as well. And a few other really interesting songs. But so let's talk about the box office here. Because this is, this gives a lot of perspective into Stroker Ace and Burt Reynolds, his career, and where it's going. But this is definitely the end of that Burt Reynolds era.
Yeah.
And like, you're kind of like that, you know, his career keeps going after this, but it's definitely not the same. And he's not that powerhouse at the box office. Like, he kept the box office open for like 6 years. It seems like 6 to 10 years. It was Burt Reynolds just keeping, you know, keeping the whole industry alive, it seems like.
Yeah. Was Burt Reynolds, and like, you know, he was just competing with Clint Eastwood and so on like that, maybe a little bit of Charles Bronson. But yeah, he was just knocking them out. And then, yeah, strange enough, they kind of said that Stroker Ace was sort of like, that was sort of the downfall, and he just never recovered. And it's almost like he didn't really get, until like Boogie Nights sort of like kind of brought him back from being like on the, almost like those sort of not necessarily B-list movies, but kind of just a little bit lower down. That wasn't until he kind of had his rise back up.
Yeah, his renaissance, his Reynoldsance. It was his career never really recovered. And what sucks is that he turned down Terms of Endearment. And I think the Jack Nicholson role in Terms of Endearment to do Stroker Ace, and the Stroker Ace just could have been done later. But We'll get to that in a second. So let's look at the box office real quick. There's only one movie listed here out of 15 that's new this week, and that movie is Stroker Race. And it comes in eighth at the box office. Yeah. So Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, little film.
Yeah. Little film is going to take a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. $16 million at the box office. I mean, that came out in May, I'm assuming, because I think all Star Wars movies did. So we're now in the first week of July. So it's been out a month. Superman 3 coming in at number two.
Mm-hmm.
Number three and four, you have John Landis twice. One's very unfortunate, though. You have Trading Places at number three.
Good one.
And then another one, he didn't fully direct this movie, but he directed the most important part of this movie, Twilight Zone, the movie. And well, we all know how that turned out. We won't have to go there.
Hey, I love that Twilight Zone movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just controversial. If you don't know why, Google it. We don't want to get into it, but it's messy. It's messy. Porky's 2 the next day comes in at number five. That's ahead of Stroker Race, and that didn't even open this week. Octopussy.
007.
Yeah, I got some 007 in there. Number six, one of my favorite ever 80s movies. Love this movie. War Games at number seven.
Oh, yeah. Another good one.
And then finally, Stroker Race at number eight, bringing in $5,886,571. It's very unfortunate.
And that's a perfect example right there. Like some people, they go, oh, Stroker Race didn't do nearly as good. But it's like, well, look what it had to compete against, though. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Especially, it's like one of those ones back then. You got to keep in mind, you're lucky to have a cinema that maybe is showing five movies at once. Mm-hmm. Lucky. Very lucky. Yeah. That's still even kind of rare. You're mostly looking for those two to three cinema theaters. So maybe, if Stroker Race is number eight, they might not even be carrying it.
The thing is with Stroker Race is this movie should have been released earlier. Like for NASCAR itself, like for the sport, it was a perfect time to release this movie. You know, Dale Earnhardt's coming up. He's becoming a big thing. I think he'd already won his first championship at this point. 81, I think. So, yeah, he'd already won a championship. He was coming up. So it was great for the sport at this time. But if you look at, that part of Burt Reynolds' career, you go back to 77 when Smokey Bandit was released. It was the second highest grossing movie that year. And the only movie that beat it was Star Wars, A New Hope, which was, a phenomenon,
Yeah.
And, so I kind of feel like if Stroker Ace had been released, earlier, even, maybe 79, 80, I think it would have still probably been much higher at the box office. It would have beat the shit out of Porky's and maybe even Trading Places and maybe got up to second or third.
Yeah.
But it's just, before it was Star Wars and Smokey and the Bandit, and now it's like a huge gap. So, because the industry had changed so much between Smokey and the Bandit to where you get this other formulaic, Burt Reynolds picture, and people are just like, I just saw E.T., there's Alien, there's Close Encounters, there's Star Wars. We're on the third one of those. It's just not the same anymore.
Well, I think that's sort of what kind of might have happened is that. Mm-hmm. That charm, because, those Southern movies, like, they didn't even think that was even a good idea, even, like, in 72 when you got, like, White Lightning and, like, then Gator and so on like that. That was a hard sell anyways because they just didn't think that those movies were going to be, like, a big hit all over the U.S. and so on like that. And then, it turns out Burt Reynolds, those kind of Southern racing movies and so on like that were extremely popular. I mean, so much so that even just those Southern kind of like action halfway comedy movies, I mean, Clint Eastwood started doing a bunch of them, and some other actors were going for that too. And it was doing real well. Yeah. With Chris Christopherson and all that stuff. And then, as I said, I think as it got kind of into the early 80s, it was still there to a bit, but now there was just, the thing is, once that big population of the audience, kind of dwindles, be like, well, that was fun for a couple of years. Then they're going to shift, the trendies are going to shift off, the hardcore fans, it doesn't matter. They'll watch those kind of movies till the day they die. But I think that's sort of what it was. The trend part of it all just kind of petered out a little bit. And this was kind of right as that was dipping.
Yeah. I don't know what made that that brand of movie so popular. And it was incredibly profitable, the homespun Southern kind of thing. Maybe it's because the South had just got movie theaters finally. Like, I know that's not true, but that's maybe. Yeah, it's weird. Like, those movies just did so, so well. And, like, Convoy is technically not a Southern movie, but it has that same kind of element, the country Western.
Yeah. You
know, this movie opens with Charlie Daniels. So that it's like they're connected. It's like that country Western, you know, Southern homespun story. And those Burt Reynolds movies are so formal. This isn't really that. What was the other one, Hanging Tough, that we did? The football one?
Oh,
Semi-Tough is the movie we were thinking.
There we go. Semi-Tough.
Yeah. That movie was formulaic, and the Burt Reynolds thing was Burt's going to get the girl. He's going to charm his way through the movie. He's endearing. He's charismatic. He's got charm for days, and he's going to smile at the camera, be smooth, you know, give a couple mustache rides and he's out. And, yeah, people were just kind of over it. But this one's fun for me, too, because not only does it have Burt Reynolds, you got Gomer Pyle in there.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Surprise. Shazam. Well, I just mentioned Andy Griffith last week. It's growing up, it was that was on all the time in the house. And Jim Neighbors, oh, that was everybody's favorite, Gomer Pyle.
Yeah, Gomer Pyle, yeah. Classic.
Technically the first gay man in the military. Think about it. He's had that Marine Corps show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just throwing it out there. And say, hey, you know, breaking down walls.
You know. Gomer Pyle. Everybody loves Gomer Pyle too.
Yeah, everybody loved Gomer Pyle. Like, of course, like Barney, like, you know, Don Knotts was the man on that show. But yeah.
Gomer Pyle got the spinoff.
Gomer Pyle got it.
He sort of got the show as it kind of went on farther down the line, but
yeah,
like the very end of Andy Griffith almost becomes more like the Don Knotts show.
Yeah,
well, Don featuring Knotts Andy Griffith.
Yeah, exactly. When in Don Knotts is just like, you know, he also had that whole Disney thing he was doing, you know, Gus and all those movies,
yep,
and stuff, and then later Three's Company. So Don Knotts was fine, but yeah, Gomer Pyle. Oh, Shazam. And I have to be honest, my Uncle Jody, I was talking to you about him earlier today. He's supposed to send me some pictures of my grandpa's bootlegging car so I could show him this, but he didn't get them to me in time. He was looking for another picture and I guess forgot about me. But he doesn't sound too much different than Gomer Pyle. I'm not gonna lie to you. He's I still sound Southern, but not like I did. Not like before I was in acting and stuff. It was real bad. And he still sounds like that. And if I get around him, I was talking to him on the phone today. So I know right now I sound more Southern than I did yesterday because I talked to Jody on the phone for like an hour today. And by the time I get off there, I talk about this. I sounds like dad home. You know, shit. You know, so.
Well, I always feel accents are one of those ones. It doesn't take long for me to absorb an accent. If I hang out with somebody who's got a thick accent, like in like 2 days, I'll be talking pretty much like him. You know, I could watch a Martin Scorsese movie and my accent will be completely different the next day.
Oh, really? So it's like, hey.
Start getting that Brooklyn accent just in the background. I don't know how it happened. It just kind of did.
The fuck you looking at? The fuck you looking at? So Stroker Ace, July 1st, 1983, directed by Hal Needham. You also have, obviously, starring Burt Reynolds. You have Ned Beatty in here as Clyde Torkel, Jim Neighbors as Lugs, Parker Stevenson as Aubrey James. You have Lonnie Anderson as Pembroke Feeney and a few other semi-recognizable people. Bubba Smith's in here, which I love Bubba Smith. And what's really cool is you have some real NASCAR drivers in here. I'm scrolling through, one of the first pictures I see, good old Dale Earnhardt.
Oh, yeah. And he's like fourth on the list on there. So it's like you could tell it's just at that time period where like he's up and coming. But he's, you know, you think a couple of years from now, he would be the top tier one on there all of a sudden.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot put into words how big Dale Earnhardt was in North Carolina. He is a deity. I mean, we're in the Bible Belt and Jesus and Dale Earnhardt. It wasn't that. I mean, it's not, you know, it wasn't that far.
That stretched out far to California, though, too. Like that's one of those ones you still see it every day, pretty much.
Oh, really? Dale Earnhardt? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, he was a big, big deal. Just such an American icon, such a legend. And the fact that he shares the screen at one moment in this film with Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds and Dale Earnhardt on the screen together in a movie.
Yep.
I'm sorry. If you don't like that, you don't like America. I mean, that's all I can say about that.
Right there. Yeah. you know, and speaking of even other like cameos, they got like one of the most bizarre ones that's in there. So they got Cassandra Peterson in there, better known as Elvira. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just one of those ones when she's in there, it's like one of the weirdest ones because she's just in it for like 20 seconds talking to Gomer, hitting on Gomer Pyle of mm-hmm. all things, where she's got some really bizarre dialogue that somebody's wrote for her. And Like that's one of those ones I'm like, I don't remember that from her autobiography.
No.
Where was that scene at? That was, I need to know what was going on there.
The time I tried to flip Jim Neighbors. Yeah, it just wasn't in there. It is odd. It was a very bizarre cameo.
I hate to sort of say it, like what I feel like it is it's one of those ones that, like, in the future, you just look at that and go, that's an odd thing there. Like, why is she in there? But I think probably in like a past thing, I think they were pretty much throwing her under the bus, making fun of her for the way she looks in this movie by making her kind of like, oh, here's, she's an oddball. Gomer Pyle's an oddball. Let's throw them together because that would be funny. Like one of those things where people are laughing at it because she's gothic and not, I know for a fact that there's something kind of like not pleasant about that decision. And she's just probably doing it for $500 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing was very bizarre. You're right. And you forget about it immediately. Like she's gone and then she's just not back. And
no, never comes back.
Yeah, it's just so forced and weird, but you're right.
Because I was literally waiting for it, like at the end of the movie, like she was going to show up, like one of those really goofy kind of like comedy things where all of a sudden Gomer Pyle's got his, new girlfriend and it happens to be Elvira. Like I was thinking it was going to be one of those kind of things, like no questions asked.
Well, that would have made it funny though. Like if they did that actually probably would have made it work. But yeah, that was a whole odd thing. But Struck Race is an odd movie anyway. It's, so if you've never seen it, it's another car movie, Burt Reynolds, How Needham. And a couple years before this, they actually had their own race team. They had the Skull Bandit, which was Harry Gant's car. Mm-hmm. And Harry Gant's awesome. I've met him a few times. He's really cool. But
and he's in this movie too.
Yeah, he's in this movie. They bring his name up a lot. They make sure they say Harry Gant a lot because it was, that's they owned his car, Burt Reynolds and How Needham together. Owned the Skull Bandit.
So it seems only natural that they would eventually kind of wind up making a NASCAR movie.
Yeah, they had to. I mean, it was just the next, logical step. Burt Reynolds does football movies because he was a college football player and he owns a NASCAR team. So now you're going to do NASCAR movies and, you up that up. You're going to turn down movies like Terms of Endearment because who needs that bullshit? We need another car movie. And this one's just, it's so formulaic. It's, you got Lonnie Anderson in there who Burt later marries a few years later after this.
Yeah.
And I got to say this, she's a pretty lady, mm-hmm. but whatever Trump is doing with his hair, that's the female version of that.
Yeah, it definitely, she does have it where it is somehow, some way goes way too far forward.
Yeah. It's just bizarre. Like it's very Tammy Faye Baker, that kind of thing going on. I don't know what's happening there, but it doesn't change. She's very pretty.
Yeah.
She's a knockout, but the hair's weird.
Yeah. The hair is kind of an oddball one there.
Yeah. So Burt Reynolds is Strucker Ace and you got, Jim Neighbors plays, Strucker's, crew chief / head mechanic or whatever. And then, Lonnie Anderson's, the girl that Burt Reynolds has to get. And then Ned Beatty is kind of, he is a, an asshole that nobody likes. And he owns a chicken chain. What was the name of the chicken? I can't remember.
It's the fastest chicken, the South's the slogan, but he's just, he's competing with the Colonel is pretty much what his thing is.
Yeah. I think that was supposed to be like their version of Bojangles. Cause I saw some Bojangles stuff in this movie. Which, I'm going to always, anytime I can bring up Bojangles, I'm going to do it. It's just,
just makes me want to try this Bojangles so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to make that mythic journey to the Far East to go have some Bojangles.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, you should. You have to come all the way here just for some Bojangles fried chicken. It is really damn good. It slap your mama good. But so he owns a chicken joint and he's trying to get into the NASCAR game. And everybody's like, we don't want to work with you. And it's because we don't like you. We can't stand you. But Burt Reynolds being himself at the beginning of the movie, you're introduced to him driving in on three wheels to Daytona right before the season starts, like just, you know, the skin of his teeth making it in there, and he kind of ruins his day with his sponsor and pisses everybody off. So he needs a new sponsor. He's desperate, and there's Ned Beatty.
Yeah, so he signs this big fat contract that's got, you know, pages galore, doesn't read it whatsoever, and ends up, because of this, having to do a bunch of weird promotional ads for that chicken company.
Yeah, this movie is a little bit more heavy on the comedy than some of the other ones. Like, it's trying to be more of a comedy than some of these other Burt Reynolds movies. They all have that comedy element.
Yeah.
Like all these formulaic ones, but this one's even more heavy. Like Semi-Tough, when we watched it, it was had all kinds of like weird messages in it that they were trying to, you know, convey. And also that one was just weird. It was like kind of racist at times, and slightly less rapey than this one.
This one's, yeah, rapey of a few characters.
Yeah, this was very rapey. This is definitely like, I want to start a series where I get like really, really woke Gen Z kids and just, you know, watch some of these movies that we watch and just watch their brain fucking melt. Like, just like, what?
Yeah, the people who grew up in all like the padded zone, like, you know, education cannot handle this stuff.
No. Like, is he about to date rape Blondie Anderson? Don't worry, they get married later in real life.
He's an honest man. He's Burt Reynolds, goddammit. He was Gator.
He's Smokey. Okay. He's the bandit. Sorry. He's the bandit. He can do whatever he wants. He's not Smokey. We'll get to that part, but I was like, oh my God, can this scene end? Please let this scene end.
And it goes on for a while. It is not a short scene whatsoever. I even feel like Burt Reynolds is kind of awkward in that scene. Like,
yeah,
how you want me to come back a third or fourth time? And
yeah,
it could have ended like, you know, literally on the 1/4 time mark of it. Like,
they thought they had struck comedy gold and they did not. And,
No. If he would have left right off the bat, it might have been just that light, like, oh, okay, haha. You know, but yeah, the way it goes, oh man.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable. But so, yeah, Burt Reynolds messes up, you know, his relationship with his sponsor. He needs a new sponsor, Ned Beatty, who's just an annoying little pudgy bastard in this. And he does a great job of it.
Yep.
Kind of swindles Burt Reynolds, promising him the moon to come race for his team. He's got a fast car and he's got all this stuff. But Burt Reynolds gets there and he realizes he's going to be going across the country promoting this chicken, dressed as a chicken. You know, basically anything that'll make him look like an idiot, Burt Reynolds has to do. And so the plot's really thin for this movie. It's basically he's trying to get out of this contract with Ned Beatty and bone Lonnie Anderson. That's the movie. And race cars.
Yeah, three things. It's the simplicity of that. Like, did you watch the trailer of this movie?
Mm-mm.
It actually has kind of a good trailer to it, but it sums up all the stuff in that trailer. It's like, Burt Reynolds, he is the ladies' man racing cars and trying to get out of the contract. Like, it literally kind of does that, like, you know, laughs for the whole family. It's funny, though, because like the real rapey scene right there, that's where it says he's a ladies' man.
Oh my God. Yeah. Gosh. Oh man. So Burt Reynolds, or Stroker Ace, is pissed about this contract. He's got to get out of it, but he's also trying to win a championship. He's got this rival named Aubrey James, which really does nothing wrong in this movie. He's just a young kid that's really good at driving race cars.
Yeah.
And Burt Reynolds is a little bit jealous of him, honestly.
Maybe just because he's a threatening, good-looking young lad.
Yeah. He's the blonde boy wonder coming to steal his mustachioed thunder.
Yeah, he's like the kid that looks like, if you need to make a Captain America movie about this time, and I know they have the 78 one, but he almost looks like he's in the running to play Steve Rogers.
Yeah, he's got that. He does have that look. He does have that look to him. The all-American boy sunshine kind of thing going on. So, yeah. So, basically, half the movie, Burt Reynolds just being a dick to this guy and trying to bone Lonnie Anderson, who Lonnie Anderson plays Pembroke, who is Ned Beatty's character. What is his name? Oh, his name is hilarious. It's like Clyde Terkel. They say it a billion times in the movie.
Yeah.
Clyde Turkle. She is Clyde Turkle's assistant. And, you know, she's the gimmick for her in this movie is that she's a virgin.
Yeah.
And, you know, Burt Reynolds just cannot fathom this. He's like, you know, so he makes it his goal to, like, you know, ruin her.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And Ned Beatty's sort of doing the same thing too. Like, if it's just like, it's one of those ones, like, you know, if two guys are going to be kind of rapey, you definitely want the Burt Reynolds, not the Ned Beatty guy, which is even more creepier. Because just picture that one long, long drug out scene of Burt Reynolds, but instead, if it wasn't Burt Reynolds and that was Ned Beatty doing that scene. Oh God.
Yeah.
That'd be like a horror movie.
That would have basically felt like the guy in like Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
It would have felt like, yeah.
It puts lotion on skin.
Yeah. Ned Beatty just in this. I love him as an actor, but he's just, oh man, he's so annoying in this, which was his goal.
Yeah.
But oh my God. So yeah, Ned Beatty's kind of got a crush on Lonnie Anderson's character. And Burt Reynolds obviously loves her, but you know, he's going to get the girl. And so it's just him and Jim Nabors and Lonnie Anderson driving around the country, trying to get out of this contract and win races at the same time, get to a couple bar fights. It's nothing like, things just happen and they're just going along, living their life, and things happen. There's no like real story to it. It's just, here's the thing that's happening and that's going to happen the entire movie. And we're just going to throw some silly gags and some car chases in there. And, you know, that's what the movie is.
Yeah. And, you know, and this thing, it's like, I saw some of the stuff and, like, you know, it looked like a lot of people put this movie down kind of hard. Like it was god awful, like the worst thing they ever saw. And it's like, well, I enjoyed it. Like I thought it was fun and so on like that. It's weird. Yeah. There's some goof stuff in there, you know, and it's, you know, it's not the strongest Burt Reynolds movie or something like that. But yeah, I just think some people, I don't know, maybe it's like, if you just don't have any care, I think if you want to hate it, it's definitely going to be an easy one. That if you go in there not wanting to like Burt Reynolds, of course, it's going to be perfect for that. You can make all the jokes you want there. But I still thought it was pretty darn solid all in all. And it's just got cool, interesting scenes, cameos. The race stuff's great and so on. You know, it is kind of funny how like when they do a car accident, they just like cut to some real footage.
Yeah, that was funny. There was they had a few actual accidents that they put together in the movie, which they were talking about on that Dale Jr. thing I sent you.
Yeah.
So there was some, but yeah, there was some other stuff that they just cut the accidents from Daytona. Another thing they did in the movie that was funny to me, somebody who like watched NASCAR going up, I could look at it and tell you what track I'm looking at pretty much instantly.
Yeah.
And there were times that they were, say, they're in Charlotte and they were showing Daytona, and there's times they're in Daytona and they were showing Charlotte. And then half the stuff that was in Charlotte, it's not even in the trivia or the locations on IMDb, but most of the time they were racing at Charlotte towards the end of that like ending scene. They said that they were at Charlotte, but they weren't. They were at Rockingham, which is actually down the road from here. It's a track called The Rock. And it's defunct too, but they're bringing that back next year, coincidentally. But they would just cut to different tracks in the middle of the shot, which I think actually Days of Thunder did a couple times too.
Probably. I can see that, especially when you're in the editing bay and you kind of like have all this, you know, different race footage from over there. You're like, that scene might look right here.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a few in there that didn't even come close to looking right. It was just like, oh my God, that's not even close to where you were just 2 seconds ago. It's not even close.
Well, but it's like when they had some of those accident scenes, if like when the first time I saw it, I was like, maybe that's like a stylistic choice that they want to make it look like it's on a TV camera, you know, and so on. And then like the next couple times it happened, like, no, those car numbers aren't even the same cars. It's just like they just literally just took race, you know, like disaster stock footage and then combined it together.
Yeah, that I think that one flip that you see like in the last race, I think that was like a few, I think it was like 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
So they were definitely using some old footage for that, which was so bizarre. And it was lazy, but this was, you know, like, look, we have this thing, we have a formula, we're going to put this out, we're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
It sucks because they didn't make a lot of money like they usually do. But so we'll get to the Lonnie Anderson scene, which is weird. So Burt Reynolds is trying to woo her this whole movie, and, you know, trying to, I guess, really take her virginity. And at this at one point, he brings her into the room, and he is under the guise of a meeting. Like, you don't hear this plot play out anywhere. You just kind of pick it up as you're watching it. And she's like, where's the other people at? And they're like, oh, they had to go do this thing. And he makes a joke about Jim Neighbors being dead. And she's like, oh, really? And then she says, my sister died. And he goes, oh, that's a funny joke. She goes, no, my sister really is dead. She got hit by a bus.
And then I was very unsure because she says that, like, and then, like, it was like, oh, that's serious. And then a couple lines later, she goes, oh, well, isn't making stories up fun or something like that? I'm like, was she serious or not serious there? I was like one of those ones, like, there was one, it went back and forth like a couple times too many that, like, it kind of was like, wait a second, what's going on here?
Is she really fucking with him? Like,
I couldn't either.
It was really funny. And so all these people are gone. And so he's going to, you know, he takes her on the patio, but she's like, he's like, I got this champagne. She goes, I don't drink. He goes, oh, this is a special champagne. It's non-alcoholic champagne. So it's day rape. Anyway, so he takes her out on the patio, gets her drunk. And then she's like, okay, I want you. And so she goes back in, lays on the bed, and he goes to the room and she's dead asleep. So he's like, okay, I'm going to just take some of your clothes off just because, you know, make you more comfortable. And then the whole scene for, like, literally it felt like 5 minutes. It was probably like two.
Yeah, but it feels
for like 5 minutes. It's just, it feels a long time. Like, he's like, okay, I'm just going to unbutton your blouse a little bit. And then he goes away. He's like, I got to go back to my room. I got to take care of a few things. And then he comes back into the shot, and he's like, okay, you know, now I'm gonna take this off, and now I'm gonna do this. And it's just like getting worse and worse. And then he teases taking a bra off, and then the scene ends. But it goes on forever, and it's really, really rapey and weird.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that, like, it might have been funny once, but that's a perfect example where, like, that joke ended at the first one. Like, it, the more you keep going, that's where it's like, now it's just weird. And then you're like, huh, you almost do that thing where you're like looking around, you know, as yourself watching this, like, where is this going to go? When will it stop? Because I was almost at that point where, like, maybe it's not going to stop. Like, they've come this far. Jeez.
Yeah, I always said the same thing too. Like, and then even when the scene ended. Yeah, even when the scene ends, you're like, did that happen? And the next morning, the very next scene is them eating breakfast together. And she goes, did anything happen? And he goes, no, nothing happened. And she goes, oh, you're so sweet. You could have raped me, but you didn't. He's such a sweet guy. That was like, that's literally why she falls in love with him, because he didn't rape her.
Yeah. Oh, but then Gomer Pyle sees her crying tears of joy, but he thinks it's the other way around. So he just goes and clocks him, like, in the phone booth. And then that's never addressed later on.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, these movies suck, but they're fun.
Yeah.
There's big, stupid, fun movies, but it's, gosh, I'm just saying, if Gomer Pyle was going to fight the bandit, I'm not going to think Gomer Pyle is going to win that fight.
But that's the thing. You don't expect him to throw the first punch. I think that's how he gets you. You just never expect him to be the guy.
Yeah, he's in love with Lonnie Anderson's character too, which is crazy because he has Elvira.
Yeah, so what's that say, Hexy? Yeah, no, but I feel like he more just, like, loves her in a weirder way. Like, it's more like a brother-sister way, almost, kind of. Like, he's got to take care of her, you know? But that almost felt like in another, if this was a 90s movie, that would have been the breakup part between the friends, where they'd be like, we're not friends anymore after that moment, you know? And, like, there's going to be a 20-minute scene where we have to try to get back together, which is, like one of those ones, like, it happens once, it's one thing, but you see it in, like, multiple movies, you're like, dude, that's always a stupid scene when, like, the friends break up three-fourths into the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Those are like those ones where it's like, ugh. I mean, like, there's good movies that happens in, like, Dumb and Dumber, but even that, I still don't like it in Dumb and Dumber. I feel like you could still bypass that. You don't need those scenes.
No, this one, he punches Burt Reynolds in the face, almost knocks him out, and he just doesn't care. And then they're like, well, I'll see you at the racetrack. But also, that's probably what it was actually like in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I just feel like, it's just all, if this is based off a book, but that doesn't always mean that everybody's following the book.
Yeah, so it was Semi-Tough, and that book, like, it wasn't even close, the book.
It's just same thing of, like, when we watch Cocktail as well, too, and it sounds like the book actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah, the book sounds really good. I mean, we need to read that book.
Yeah. But,
I don't even have time to watch movies, much less read a book from the 80s. This is, you know, it's fun. It's big, dumb. I had fun with it. I enjoyed it because of the novelty of it, just the old NASCAR stuff and seeing Dale Earnhardt and that one scene where they're racing with Aubrey James in the hotel and they're on like the bellhop cars or whatever.
Kyle Petty and everything there.
Yeah, Kyle Petty, Ricky Rudd is in there and Dale Earnhardt. And then was there another race car driver? It said Terry Labonte was in it. I only saw him one time and it was like a shot. I just mentioned Terry Labonte last week randomly. I'm talking about Kellogg's Corn Flakes or a little advertisement thing. But yeah, I recognized most of the drivers I saw in there. And like Tim Richmond had a few lines. And of course, you got Handsome Harry Gantt gets a good couple of cameos in there because, of course, he's going to. Mm-hmm. But I used to wait on him at Red Lobster.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think my first job was there, and he used to come in there and, like, murder those Cheddar Bay biscuits. I mean, like, murder them. And, hey, man, let me get some more of him. Come on, bring him over here. I was like, okay, like, I'll give you a special thing, Handsome Harry.
Yeah.
Everybody gets him, Harry. But you can feel like you're VIP if you want to. You're Mr. September.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, it was a good, fun movie. I like these little charming Burt Reynolds movies. They're, you know, they're silly, they're fun. The reviews are terrible. Mm-hmm. And the movie isn't very good, but it's not meant to be. It's not like, you know, meant to be an Oscar winning thing. It's like, hey, come buy some popcorn, watch Burt Reynolds be Burt Reynolds for an hour and a half, and you'll get your money's worth. And if that's what you were going for, you did.
Yeah. It's the total definition of a popcorn flick.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? It's just, it's a good time fun. It's like, don't worry about it. We're not here for competition or anything like that. It's just, it's just a fun ride. And it's just got interesting stuff in it, both in the bizarre way and in the fun way. And in, like, you know, good comedy and strange comedy. Like, but it all comes together as an enjoyable picture. It flows well. And yeah, I was interested the whole way through. It's one of those things. And you get cool race car scenes. Come on, like you don't even get any of that stuff anymore anyways.
No, the race car scenes were really cool. The ones that were actually filmed. And they, you know, more of it than I thought there were going to be. I keep bringing up Semi-Tough, but I thought it was going to be like the football in that movie where there's like hardly any. And it starts off like that, but then they add more and more racing scenes as the movie goes along. It was definitely more racing in this than there was football in that one.
Yeah, no. And this one definitely was better than Semi-Tough for sure.
Oh, eons. If you love Burt Reynolds movies, you'll love this movie. This is what this was for. It's a shame that why they opened it when they did baffles me. Like when you have the foresight to be like, hey, maybe Star Wars is going to fuck us in the butt.
Like, yeah, maybe, they're only on their third one.
Yeah, like it's pretty tried and true at this point. And then, you know, you got Trading Places, which is big. You got a lot of other stuff. This is a, you know, they could have thrown this movie October, you know, something like that, and probably would have done much better, honestly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Burt Reynolds had been a juggernaut for so long. Why wouldn't you bet on that, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that's what happens is people get to that point where, like, when you got a winner a bunch of times over, I think that, like, some people just they get kind of blinded by that, and they don't start weighing their odds of competition anymore. They think they are the top dog, and that's when you know it's got to be dangerous. Is when you think you are the top one is when you really got to watch out.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Bert. But Stroke Race is a fun movie. Mm-hmm. Definitely fun for me. Revisiting that time and place, you know, even though I wasn't born when this movie came out, but it feels very reminiscent of the North Carolina I grew up in, much more of a southern state than it is now. And that's good and bad. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of good things about, you know, other people from other states coming here and, you know, bringing in a little bit of culture that we needed and, you know, diversifying things a little bit. That's really nice. But there is some of that, like that southern charm that's missing, especially in like Raleigh and Charlotte and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing this is just like a bunch of rednecks with their shirts off and
drinking beer,
Race Hill, Praise Dale, a lot of that going on. That was some good stuff. So there you go. Stroke Race. Never seen it. Where did you watch it at?
I just rented it from Amazon.
That's what I did.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah. I didn't see it anywhere else. I was like, yeah, you know what? That's almost the easy way to go.
Yeah. Surprised I don't own this one in some capacity. But I never have. I've never, you don't see this one very often as much. I mean, it's like, it's not a hidden movie, but it's not as prevalent as some of other Burt Reynolds stuff, like, you know, Smokey or Longest Yard or, you know, any of those. So
yeah, Zach, Deliverance or something like that.
Yeah, Deliverance. Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. I have so many. I was thinking of this day, so many Burt Reynolds posters.
See, that's from, so cool.
Smokey the Bandit 2, I have.
And what, did you have a Stroke or Ace one?
I might, you know, I need to look again. I might have Stroke or Ace. I think
it's,
I
got a cool poster, speaking of which.
Is it the one he's in a chicken suit, right?
Or I don't know. The one I was looking at was the one that was on Wikipedia, and it sort of got him and Lonnie Anderson on it. It's going to get the checkered flag behind it, a couple cars racing around.
Oh yeah, she did have this one. My mom did have, so mom, if you listened before, my mom had, we used to work in the movie theater, and she passed away a couple years ago, but she gave me all her old movie posters, and a lot of them are Burt Reynolds. Hooper.
Yeah, so you got the Hooper one, which I just found that on VHS recently. I saw it at the store. I was like, oh, I'm taking that. Because that almost might be my favorite Burt Reynolds movie.
I have almost no Burt Reynolds VHS. I think, honestly, the only Burt Reynolds movie I have on VHS is Boogie Nights. I might have Smokey.
Uh-huh. I don't think that might be the only one I have, too, now that I think about it. I love more of his on DVD.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a whole lot of that stuff, but I definitely have the posters. I have Smokey and the Bandit 2, Hooper. I think I might have Stroke or Ace, but I'm not really sure. I know I have Semi Tough, because that's one of my favorite posters I own, was that one.
Yeah.
Him and Chris Christopherson. And I can't, there's a few more. I can't think of them right now, but yeah, old Bert, such an icon. You know, he the one thing about him I'll say, and it's kind of like Adam Sandler, mm-hmm. and, you know, certain other actors, you might not like what they do. What they do might be stupid, but they had a type of movie. Like Adam Sandler, it is an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
Except for the times that he breaks out just a little bit, there's like an Uncut Gems or, you know, Punch Drunk Love. Other than those things, like the movies that are his company, Happy Madison, they have a formula. They have their own thing going on. Everything mm-hmm. from Click to, you know, The Animal and all the stuff that he did, he produced that he wasn't even in. He has a type of movie. And Burt Reynolds has a type of movie, with the exception of a few, you know, outside dramatic performances. Everything was, you know, his way, and it worked for a really, really long time, up until Stroke or Ace, pretty much. It was, you know, tried and true.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's like, that's even kind of like, because, you know, Hal Needham, the director and whatnot, you know, he does so many of Bruce, or of, why I say that, Burt Reynolds. I also have Bruce Reynolds for some reason, getting late tonight. Burt Reynolds movies, because, you know, he did The Longest Yard, Smokey the Bandit, Hooper, you know, of course, Smokey and the Bandit 2, Cannonball Run, you know, Stroke or Ace. And then, yeah, he's got all kinds of interesting ones in there. Even some of those ones, like he's got that Rad, that BMX movie. He did one. Yeah, just some like interesting things. There was another one. There's this one called Megaforce that before we were doing the podcast, I was just sort of looking through.
Yeah.
I'm like, that looked really cool. I really wanted to see that. And he also did The Villain with Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's the one too. He's just got some oddball movies in there where like he can have some ones that are like real, like, oh my gosh, knockout ones, and then ones that are kind of like, oh, that's kind of a goofy, weird movie, but you know, cool, why not?
Yeah. He passed away in 2013, but his last movie was literally 1996. It was a Street Luge movie. So he liked to come some like extreme stuff.
He also, well, the last one he did was a Burt Reynolds one called Hard Time, made for TNT's movie night.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Old Burt Reynolds at the end. His career went to shit until Boogie Nights, pretty much. He had that TV show, too, Evening Shade.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. My mom liked that show for a minute.
Yeah, it's like it's that weird one that like he kind of he didn't until Boogie Nights. That was almost like that was the equivalent of like John Travolta in Pulp Fiction. It's almost it was. He had that, and then it was like boom, everybody's like, oh yeah, that guy's an amazing actor. Like almost they kind of forgot about him for a while, and then through the 2000s, he was in all kinds of stuff. I mean, like he's in Dukes of Hazzard, you know what I mean? He's literally playing Boss Hogg. And I love how that movie was originally pitched as the dude from Broken Lizard. The Indian, I'm blanking on his name. I had his book and everything, but he talked about when he wanted to make Dukes of Hazzard. He was like talking to like the producers. I think it's Fox that has that movie or whatnot. I could be wrong there, but he's like, all I want for this movie though is as long as Burt Reynolds and Willie Nelson are in the movie. And the producer pauses for a second, gives him kind of a confused look like, is Bo and Luke Duke? And he's like, well, if that was the case, that would be amazing. But I just want to be in the movie.
I would watch the fuck out of that
movie.
Oh
my God. The Bo and Luke Duke, like, is them older, but they're played by Burt Reynolds and Willie Nelson. Come on.
Yeah. Burt Reynolds is like, all right, man, you think we can outrun him? And Willie Nelson's like, do we have to? You know, basically, pretty much. Oh my gosh, just toking it up. Oh, Willie.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So yeah, Burt Reynolds, always good, you know, no matter what he's in.
Pretty much, yeah. He's always charming. He's got incredible screen presence. Even if it's the movie around him is shit, he has his moments in those movies. Even in Semi Tough, which I hated that movie looking back at it. The more I think about that movie, I hate it. But he had his moments in there that he was really, really funny. But yeah, rest in peace, Bert. And Hal Needham. And half the drivers in this in this movie because they got killed at Daytona.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even a joke. Oh my gosh. Sad. Both Neil Bonnet and Dale Earnhardt. And then I think of course Tim Richmond died, but that was a different circumstance. You can Google that one. But yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, sad. Anyway, thanks for listening. Y'all have a good one. If you want to discuss anything with us on social media, you go to at Via VHS on Twitter, at Via VHS on TikTok, and at Via VHS Pod on Instagram. Of course, you can always find everything that Spencer does at oldmanorange.com, including Pizza Boys Comic and Old Man Orange Podcast and all kinds of cool stuff like that. But any last thoughts before we get out of here?
Nah, you know, as I said, it was a good fun for the first time seeing it. You know, I just had a good old time with it. You know, it puts me in the mood as always to watch more Burt Reynolds stuff, which I feel we have another one coming up sooner than later for sure.
Yeah, we might have some more Burt Reynolds coming down the pike really, really soon. We'll probably try to stretch about a little bit, but I know on the list there's another one coming up. We may have mentioned it already. Who knows? Yeah. But anyway, thank y'all for listening. Y'all have a good one. And Via VHS is out.